to reflect, and God is so faithful to us. Well, we're going to go ahead and pass out our notes. Paul, if you could have those passed out. I just want to take a couple of minutes this morning to share. I believe it's an invitation from the Lord to, number one, it's a reminder of what he's called us to. It's also an invitation to grow in the Lord. And there's a pattern for it in Scripture. And Paul, one of his main prayers, and you'll see as you have your notes, one of his main prayers for the church, not just in Ephesus, looking at this particular prayer that basically becomes an entry point for receiving more from the Lord and for giving more of our lives to the Lord. But one of his main prayers, one of the main New Testament prayers was this, that we would grow in revelation of who Jesus is, that we would have a more clear picture of the man that we say that we follow and we worship. You know, it's so easy to say, yeah, I'm a follower of Jesus, or we use the phrase, I'm a Christian. But how do you actually get to know him when you don't see him physically, when you don't live in the same household, when though he is there by the Spirit of the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, you don't see him. It's hard to interact with him in the same way that we interact physically with other people. And the person that we say that we follow, many times we don't have a clear picture of how to grow in that relationship. So Paul, I think one of the main things that was on his heart, even as he's praying for the church of Ephesus while he's in prison, one of his main prayers for that specific church, and as well, it's a prayer that is being prayed for us, I believe, around the throne, and it's a prayer that we could enter into, is the prayer for spiritual wisdom and revelation. And it's the spirit of wisdom, or the spiritual wisdom that is given to us when we see who Jesus is and what he, and how he feels about us. So if you could take me out of the monitors, I think that's probably some of the, thank you. Just take some of the echo out. So let's just ask the Lord for these next couple of minutes to open our eyes and our ears that we would receive what he wants to say to us. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the power of your word, that as we speak weak words from weak people, God, you take the word that is eternal and you allow it to be delivered like a hammer that breaks through sin, complacency. It's like an arrow that is shot forth. It pierces through everything that is hindering and blocking the way. Father, it is like a lightning strike that illuminates the night, the darkest of hearts. We thank you for your word that is like a fire, that it consumes everything that stands in the way of receiving your love. So, Father, we ask you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation over our hearts. Holy Spirit, you say, to him that has ears, listen. To the one that has eyes, look. Beyond the natural, we ask you for the ability and the help this morning. Take my words and echo into eternity and bring us into that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, Paul is in prison when he's writing this letter and he's giving it. It's a gift. Can you imagine Jesus, if I can use these notes for a second, can you imagine Jesus from heaven saying, I'm going to write a special note specifically for Colin because it's your birthday? And he would deliver it by postal service. Probably he would use UPS because it's more efficient. But he would actually deliver that letter directly to you, certified mail, and you would receive that as a love letter or a letter of instructions from Jesus himself, because he is so moved, his heart is so moved for you, and he is so desirous that you would know his plan and his purpose. Well, I think this specific prayer is that same analogy is Jesus saying, this is the entry point for us to grow closer to him. This prayer that we think that we've understood because we've heard it prayed before is actually a repeated invitation to go back to the well, to pull and to draw from. Because it's this prayer that is being prayed, that is, heaven is asking us to pray it again. At the point where we say, oh, I already got that, we're actually closing the door to receive more of what God has for us. And so we never want to exhaust or never stop from praying this specific prayer for our own hearts, for our own community, and really for the body of Christ before Jesus returns. So Paul is writing this. He's separated from his Christian brothers and sisters. He's in prison. He's aching in his heart. He's aching in his heart because it's the spiritual family. You know, even when I show up on Sunday mornings, usually I'm tired or whatever, and I'm going, hopefully Jesus shows up because I don't know how I'm going to do this. And I gather together with our worship team, and we hold hands, and we pray in agreement. And God, every single time, we experience something beyond what we would have imagined. This morning, we experienced that again, right, worship team? And so it's this same thing. Paul is in prison. He's going, God, what can I do when I'm separated from my family that allows me to connect with them? And so by the Holy Spirit, he says, pray this prayer, and he begins to write it down. And this prayer is given to us because it connects us all around the throne of God on that sea of glass. And here's the prayer. We'll read it together. Starting in verse 16, it says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, Paul says, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Father of glory, so much could be said about that. It's the God of Jesus, who is also our God, but he is God, but he's also a man. And so, but it's Jesus' God, who is also our God. Paul says, I'm praying to that God. He's a Father who is filled with glory and gives glory, that he would give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The knowledge of who? Evan, the knowledge of you. I'm just testing you real quickly. Who's that the knowledge of? Or Paul, who's it the knowledge of? Jesus, yes. It's the knowledge of Jesus, that God would give the gift of the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to see beyond the natural, to open our ears to hear beyond the natural, and to see ultimately Jesus. It goes on in verse 18, he said that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that they would be awakened, that they would be opened. There's so many times that I'm dull in my heart. My ears don't hear clearly. My eyes don't see clearly because there's so many things that we face in life. How many have ever been there? You go, I know I love Jesus, but I can't connect with him. I can't feel him quite because there's, I've had just a crazy week, or I've had so many things going on around me. I've heard all these other voices, these other distractions, and go, I want to connect with him, but I don't know how to get there. It's this prayer that invites us in. It opens the door. The eyes of our understanding will be enlightened. We need the help of the Holy Spirit, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. It's the Father wanting you to know what is his calling for your life, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. He says, I bury eternal treasures. Paul says, I think it's in, is it Romans or Corinthians? He says, I bury eternal treasures in the hearts of human, of earthen vessels, vessels on the earth. He says, my treasures are hidden within you, and I allow you to live your life to discover that which I've hidden within you. Because God loves, how many have heard this before? God loves to play hide and seek, and he hides things within us, and we go, we search everywhere and hit the wall, you know, searching for satisfaction, searching for fascination. And then when we hit the wall, we go, help, Lord. And he goes, yeah, look within and begin to discover that which I've already given you. And it's that lifelong journey that we discover the very gifts of God. He says that the eternal riches hidden in the saints. He places treasures within us. And this is what Paul is praying. He's instructing the church of Ephesus, what the Lord himself instructs us to pray. We pray this often in the prayer room here. When you turn on the web stream, whether it's Kansas City or other prayer rooms, they're praying this prayer. There's nothing more powerful than the prayers of the Bible. When we pray the prayer that's been documented in Scripture, we connect with eternity. This prayer will be answered. It's being answered, and it's a gift for you and me. I just want to take a couple minutes to lay a foundation for this prayer, and then I really want to share more clearly with the person that brings us into this reality. Jesus actually prays this same prayer for you and me. He began praying this specifically in John 17, right before he's crucified, right before he goes to the cross. He dies a death for you and me. He's raised from the dead and he ascends to the Father. Before that happened, John 17:1, he begins to pray. He says, Father, this is now the hour to glorify your Son. What does that mean, to glorify your Son? When he prayed that, what is he talking about? He's saying, Father, make my name known, because when my name is made known, your name is also made known. It's nothing more powerful than when God reveals himself to you and me. Jesus prays that in 17:1, John 17:1. This is the hour when the Messiah is being revealed. As one of the stories that one of the missionaries from Jordan shared, she said that what they do is they go into different small towns and villages and they look for people of peace, which is Luke 10, verse 6. It talks about the man of peace. They would look for the people of peace who are open and receptive to the gospel. I got a whole new perspective talking to them because, she said they go into these villages and look for people of peace, and as they find them, those that are open to conversation to hear about the gospel, they would share Jesus. This one particular lady they meet, and they would encourage them, okay, we're going to invite you to host a time of sharing in your home. But the thing is, you have to invite other people that you know to this time of sharing. And so they would invite people. It becomes a Bible study, a home Bible study. Well, this particular lady, she gave her heart to the Lord. She's on fire for Jesus. She started one in her home. She started another one in the neighborhood. She starts two or three in her village. A few months go by, and she tells these missionaries, listen, I'm so sorry. My husband's getting a job in another village, and we have to move. And so I don't know what to do. And so they're thinking in their heads, they're never going to hear from this lady again. So she moves with her husband. They get a phone call from this lady a number of months later, and she calls and says, hey, listen, I need some help. We've started all these people of peace groups, these home groups, and I don't know what to do and how to take care of them all. So she went by herself into another village and began starting these Bible studies in this other village. It's the hour of revelation of Jesus. God is revealing his Son like never before. We can be encouraged that no matter what is being displayed on the news, God says, my kingdom will go forth. It will never reduce. It will never diminish. It will only increase. Jesus says, I'm going to build my church in the midst of persecution, in the midst of martyrdom, in the midst of the most wicked and heinous acts of violence. He says, I will build my church. The blood that is shed will never be in vain. How do we know that that's true? It's the blood of Jesus that was shed is not in vain. It's continuing to reproduce itself in the hearts of humanity all over the earth. The gospel is going forth. In large part, it's because people like you and me were praying for the revelation of Jesus to continue to increase. When we connect with this prayer, we're actually saying, Father, continue to reveal your Son, not only to me, but to the nations. And yes, many Muslims are coming to Jesus. Many of these people that they're meeting, even as they were sharing these stories, many of the refugees from Syria, she said over a million that are coming into Jordan. They don't even know how to take care of everybody. She says they're traditional, as you would meet a traditional Catholic. Their tradition is Catholicism, their background, but they haven't encountered Jesus yet. In the same way as she's sharing these stories, many of their backgrounds are Muslim by tradition, but they're not walking out the Islamic religion, and they're open to the gospel, and they're receiving Jesus, and hundreds are receiving them as they're just in their own circles of influence. We pray this prayer because God is revealing his Son. He delivers his will from heaven to the earth when we agree with him, and he waits for that prayer. Paul says, pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Well, we want to look more closely at what that means for our own individual hearts. I love this verse. I've had a feeling I was going to do this. I'm going to share this particular verse and then go from there. We'll jump back, but it's in the end of my notes. But 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. It says, beloved, or children of God, we are God's children now. Everybody say now. When you receive Jesus, you repent of your sins, you're welcomed into the family of God. John says here in this writing, he says, now you are a son or a daughter of God. But look at how it goes on to say. He says, and what we will be has not yet appeared. In large part, he's talking about Jesus. There's something being produced in you and me that will not be clear, will not be revealed until we see Jesus and we recognize how much we've been made like him. And I believe that's in large part how we receive eternal riches and gifts, an inheritance based on how much we've emulated or been brought into the image of Jesus. But it's interesting to me, when I heard that verse this week, I went, now we're made children of God. Now you are a son and a daughter of God. You're invited into the family. You have a seat around the throne. You're a part of the family. Juan is a part of the family. Never being taken out of that place. No one can ever take you from that place. But it is up to us in this 70 years or so that we're given in this life to discover and to receive an increase. Though we have a sonship, though we are children of God, we have yet to fully walk out and to see and understand who we'll become and grow in that revelation. I want to take hold of everything that is available for me in this life. I don't want to just wake up in eternity and go, oh, that was a crazy life. I'm glad eternity's here. I'm glad sin is removed. I want to touch and receive everything that God would give me. I know that I'm a son of God forever, but I also want to receive everything that is available today. We only get one chance of this life. The opportunity to live by faith is given to us once. We'll live out of the overflow of a life of faith today. We will live a life of overflow in eternity based on how we live today. That's another topic, but I think there's so much that we have yet to understand. It needs to be understood. It needs to be taught more, I think, in the body of Christ, because we're living so much out of how do we just function today? You know, how do you apply the gospel for practical living? How do we love our neighbor today and tomorrow? How do we love our wife, our husband, our children? How do we, you know, manage our job well, our finances, which is just a blink, and then we enter into eternity? We want to live with eternal perspective. This prayer, back to the beginning of your notes here, it's what God invites us into. Matthew, letter E, Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, it says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open. I love the idea of this verse, who go, Father, can I have a more clear picture of who you are? You may not get an answer right away. He's waiting to see how hungry you are. So Jesus says, ask. It will be given to you, but there's a delay sometimes. So he goes on, he says, seek. I'm coming after you, Father. I didn't get a response. I'm coming after you. And then finally he goes, knock. I mean, go right up to the door and go. I'm just figurative language here, just my own imagination. I don't know what Jesus was thinking, but this prayer that Jesus, he's teaching us how to pray, how we gain more of what he has for us. James said it this way, you only will receive that which you ask for. I want to know the Jesus that I'm going to stand before in that day when he appears. I want to know him now. I don't want to just stand before him and go, whoo, you're a lot more beautiful, more powerful than I thought, which all of us will do that. We'll see him in the sky. Juliana, were we talking about this? We were talking about when the rapture happens and he comes in the sky, he will literally be, I mean, just imagine Juan, he's flying in the sky on a cloud. I mean, there'll be a man, a literal man that's floating on a cloud, probably really fast, and there's fire all around him and angels coming behind him. I mean, what do we imagine Jesus looking like in that day? We are going to see him. He'll be a real man. He'll be a beautiful man. He'll be bright. He'd be a son of God, but he'd also be a son of man, coming in the clouds, it says. I want to know this Jesus before that day. I want my heart to have definition. I want it to be fleshed out in my own heart when I close my eyes. And I take that imaginary journey up the mountain. It says the temple of the Lord is on a mountain in the New Jerusalem, there in heaven. There's a real place. I picture that. I picture going up the mountain. Sometimes I try to imagine what that building, that temple looks like. Holy imagination. I'm going to paint a picture for you. You're going to go, wow, is that in the Bible? Yeah, this is in the Bible. And I go and I imagine going up to the door and I hear, what does it sound like? What is the smell like? What is it? What do you imagine? It's the spirit of revelation. And I imagine, and John says the door was open. John chapter, Revelation chapter 4. The door is already open. I imagine seeing the door open, I go, do I dare go in there? I mean, does the sound, is it like waves? Can you see the sound? I mean, are there musical notes coming? I don't know. What does that look like? What does it sound like? What does it smell like? What does it feel like? Can you feel the sound waves? Can you? It says there's thunder, there's lightning. And if we dare, in our holy imagination, get into that throne room where the Father has his throne, where Jesus has his throne, can we see him? Can we hear him? This revelation through this prayer, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, James says in 4:2, he says, you can receive if you ask, but it's only to the one that asks. I love this. Jesus is determined to bring you into your eternal destiny. I don't know how to become who God wants me to be. He said, it's okay. I'm going to help you. I have the aid of the Holy Spirit, which we'll look at the last few minutes of this, which I love. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, Paul starts out by writing this letter to the church. This particular verse is one of my favorite because it is Jesus painting drawing out the blueprint for your life and for my life. And though most of it has not yet been walked out or fulfilled, some of this life, this blueprint has been written out, but we have yet to fully walk it out. It says this, just as he, speaking about Jesus, chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. How many know that we have not yet fulfilled that, right? I have not yet fulfilled that. I have shortcomings. I have weaknesses. I say things and I go, give me that word back. And it gets out of my mouth. And I go, oh, I wish I wouldn't have said it. And the word for eternity, it echoes. Our deeds that we do, my deeds are not always honoring the Lord. The way I treat other people, the way I drive on the highway, the things that we do, the things that we think, Jesus, or the Father says that through Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, you will live a life without blame. It will be holy, which means you will fully surrender to Jesus. You'll be fully in agreement with Jesus. We don't fully agree with Jesus yet. I mean, we would like to say we're all that in a bag of chips. We would like to say we are, but we're not. Some days we just like, you know what? I just don't feel like whatever. The Father has so much more clear of a picture for your life in eternity than you do, than I do. He says, I'm going to bring you into that. I love thinking about this verse because I imagine the Father, I don't know, sitting on his throne. Maybe he takes a walk in the cool of the temple, I don't know, before he built creation. And he goes for a walk with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're all together. I don't even know how that works, but or maybe they're sitting at the conference table. I don't know, but they're in conversation before he forms and fashions the earth. And they go, oh, I'm dreaming about Ian. Even before he was born, I've been thinking about him. One day, Stephanie. I mean, he begins to list your names. He had eternity before he began time. Just think about that for a second. You were already a thought in the Father's heart. He was dreaming about you and me. He was thinking about us, not of who you are, but who you will be. Something that burns in the heart of the Father. And the way to connect to that is through the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Letter I, God chose you. I love how Stuart Greaves says it. He goes, that means God can choose. God chooses and he chose you. You're in this room today because God chose you. Think about that for a second. He chooses you every day. He says, maybe today they'll ask me to know a little bit more about my heart. Maybe tomorrow they'll actually draw near to me and I can share the secrets of my heart. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but he chooses us. Amen. Letter M, salvation. Two things that we see in the message of salvation. Salvation closes the door to the sin and our past lives, eternity of hell, and opens up a door that brings us into the ocean of God's love. And here's the reality. We go, wow, that ocean looks beautiful. You know, maybe you stand on the shoreline. You know, maybe you're that person. You never really get in the water because, you know, you just like the sound. You like the sights. You like, that's Stephanie, she said. She just enjoys being there. And this is, you know, I'm going to play out this analogy fully, but it's no reflection on you, just enjoying the sand. And on. But it, just imagine God says, all of this is yours. You go, wow, that's a, that is a great inheritance package. Wow, that's just amazing. You talk about it. You say, hey, this belongs to me, but you never really enter into it. You never really access it. The Lord says the door is open, but you never come in to spend time with me. It's a picture of somebody standing on the shoreline like Stephanie and going, wow, that water must be nice and cold. I'll let you tell me how it is. It's the ocean of God's love, ocean of his eternity that we have privilege to enter into today. This is a picture of the Father of glory who desires that you and me would look like him. And the prayer I pray often, you've heard me say this before, but I pray this often. I say, Father, when I grow up, I want to be just like you. When I grow up, I want to talk like you. I want to walk like you. I want to look like you. I want to sound like you. I want people to look at me and go, oh, you're just like your father. And that actually means something good. I want to be just like my father when I grow up. Now my earthly father is there in heaven. Looking forward to seeing him one day. This morning as we were worshiping, I was imagining being before the throne, and it says that the throne is high and lifted up. He's above. You just imagine, I don't know how, it's suspended above the sea of glass. And so by faith, we enter into that arena and we look up. I was looking up and I'm picturing somewhere on that sea of glass. My dad is there. My mom is there. Your family members, those that have been blessed to have a family that has passed on to be in eternity. We're there in worship. It's the Father of glory that wants us to look like him. Sons and daughters of glory. Glory simply means that we have access to what he has given us and we walk that access out. We live that out of the overflow of our heart. Letter O, the entry to the kingdom of heaven is to discover what Jesus did on the cross and the deep waters of that ocean that we're talking about is the discovery of why he did so. What he did on the cross is powerful. That message needs to be heard. But the other side of that coin is, why did he do it? Why did he die on the cross? What was he inviting us into? Roman numeral 2, the spirit of revelation, the spirit of wisdom and revelation actually is the knowledge of God. It's the Holy Spirit that actually is the one who reveals Jesus. He is the greatest testifier. I mean, we got some great evangelists in our generation. I mean, Billy Graham, any day he could go home to heaven. I mean, he's 90, somebody help me, 96, 97? Is he 92? I thought he was older than that. I mean, he could be any day. One of the greatest evangelists. A little younger than him, 70-something years old, Reinhard Bonnke. And then we have evangelists of the gospel that we don't even know their names, many of them, because they're international. Greatest testifiers of the gospel of Jesus. Well, there's one that is even greater than that. You put all of them in the same room, and they see Holy Spirit in another room, they go, wow, he's got one up on us. The Holy Spirit is the greatest testifier to who Jesus is. As a matter of fact, the Bible describes the Holy Spirit as the one who testifies of who Jesus is. I want to look at John 16 so badly, but I'm going to wait. It's becoming one of my favorite passages. But again, the spirit of wisdom and revelation is what reveals Jesus to us. Paul says in this prayer, Ephesians 1:17, he says, it's the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Father of glory. It's the God of the Spirit, his Spirit who reveals Jesus to the human heart. God the Spirit reveals God the Father and the Son to the human heart. How many want to know more about who Jesus is? We got our research team says, sorry, a little parenthetical thought. Help me. His name is Billy Graham's 97 years old. So he's looking forward to his eternal inheritance. It's the Holy Spirit. It's becoming acquainted with the person, not just the thing, but the person. Yeah, I want to get that. I remember a few years ago talking to some kids. They would do, you know, the Payne brothers. Just love those guys. The little ones, I mean, they're not little anymore. But I remember this kid. He goes, yeah, we went to church and I got the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. I got the Holy Spirit. I just had to say that. Sorry. I love you guys. We're family. The reason why I'm sharing that is the Holy Spirit is not just an it, but he is a person. It's the Holy Spirit who loves revealing Jesus to us. John 16, 8. We'll look at John a little bit. John 16, 8. Jesus says this, and when he, everybody say Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. You don't have to say it that way, but. When he, the Holy Spirit, has come, he will convict. In the word convict, you can understand it as convince or sell the product. He will convince the world of, number one, sin. Number two, of righteousness and of judgment to come. The Holy Spirit is the one who reveals past, present, and future of who Jesus is. What Jesus has done, what he's doing, and what he will do into eternity. So what Jesus is saying here, I think in large part, he's saying, I want to convince the world of what salvation means yesterday, today, and forever. Sin, because it's the Holy Spirit that has to convict us for us to even recognize how much we need Jesus. Because if it's left to ourselves, we check out a long time ago. So the Holy Spirit has to remind us, and he's so gracious to warm our hearts gently. That's why we gather together to worship Jesus together in the corporate setting. Sunday mornings, we come together and we, oh yeah, that's why I love Jesus. Oh yeah, that's why I love the spiritual family. Oh yeah. He convinces us that it's only Jesus that can rescue us from sin. And then he convinces the world, he convinces us or he convicts us of how to live a righteous life, of how our choices matter for eternity. And then it's the Holy Spirit's job to convince us, to convict the world, to convince the world that through Jesus, he is going to judge sin and wickedness and all that stand in the way of fulfilling what's in his heart. Many times we need to pray this prayer. We need to enter into the and ask the Holy Spirit for revelation and wisdom again to help us to understand who Jesus is. Again, it's because our hearts get hardened, we get complacent, and the very fact that we here's the fact of our own heart: we desire fascination, we desire to be satisfied, we long for something other than ourselves. It's one of the greatest reasons why Walt Disney World and Walt Disney himself is so famous to this generation. And I'm not saying anything bad about Disney, because I love Disney, but it's an expression of why he is this business is so popular, why it's doing so well. It's why, as a culture, we long for the material of Hollywood. We long for the thing that will fascinate us, that will win over our hearts just for a moment to think, there's got to be something greater than the life I'm living. I'm bored. We get locked into the spiritual boredom and we long for fascination. And what happens is if we only pursue the fascination of this world, because we think that God is boring, we really do. If we were to be honest with ourselves, we think that God is boring. We go, yeah, he's far away at a place that I can't really get to because I can't physically drive there or fly there. And I have to like use my own imagination, which is not true. We use the Bible to paint those pictures. And so we pursue fascination in the form of food, relationships, Hollywood. We seek fascination, something that's bigger than ourselves. And it's this longing of God through this prayer to bring us into the revelation of Jesus. Look at this letter E, the most neglected spiritual treasure on the planet is that which is only found through the ancient art of waiting on God. The ancient art, I say ancient because it's a forgotten pastime that is, I believe we see that because of the prayer movement coming back to this generation, it's a forgotten art form that is a gift to us in the church, but this is how we gain access to more of God. Spiritual treasures that are waiting to be discovered. If I were to call our community and say, hey, next Saturday we are going to paint the outside of this building. We don't have to because the landlord does that. But if I were to say, hey, we're going to do something in this building, we would probably have 20 to 30% of our community that would come and be a participant of that. If I were to say, hey, we're going to have a 6 a.m. prayer meeting Monday morning, we might get 2 to 3% of this community. And that's not a rebuke or a condemnation. What it is, it's a reality that we have not fully touched this ancient art of called prayer and the gift of even fasting that awakens us to actually touching God in the secret place. And if that might be true for all of our generation, I can get an amen. That'd be okay. Some of you are not sure why you would be saying amen. That's okay. You can listen to the message later. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Look at this. This is just, oh, it's another open door for us. We have received the Holy Spirit so that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. Verse 14, it goes on to say, the natural man, the one that is trying to understand who God is without the help of the Holy Spirit, does not receive the things of God's Spirit, for they are foolishness to him, and we cannot understand them or know them. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God himself, is the one that enables us to understand who he is and what he's doing in our life. Paul goes on and says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says that the gospel or the testimony of Jesus is hidden behind a veil. Just imagine this veil there. Jesus is A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, beyond 26 letters of the English alphabet. He is so other than you can't even put it on a paper. The gospels say that if they were to write volumes of who Jesus was, even in his 3+ years of ministry on the earth, they wouldn't even have room to put those books in a library. Jesus is hidden behind a veil, and it's Satan himself that clouds our mind of actually gaining an understanding of who he is. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. We need to even know by the Holy Spirit that we don't want or we can't understand who Jesus is. Again, this is why that prayer is so powerful. Father of glory, the one who has a river that flows from your throne, who is the Holy Spirit, give me revelation and wisdom. Cooperating with the Spirit, Roman number 3, we're going to wrap up with this last point. This is the most important. This is the thing that's burning in my heart. At some point, 2016, as the Lord helps me, I want to teach a series on the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. The person and the work of the Holy Spirit, because many times we just assume, well, the Holy Spirit will do what he does, you know, and we'll show up and maybe feel him from time to time, but we want to make sure we stay focused on Jesus. But Jesus says, if you want to focus on me, you need to know who Holy Spirit is, because it's the Holy Spirit, his presence, that reveals who I am. John 16, this is what he explains. He says, I'm about to leave the planet, and you're not going to see me again until I return. You guys remember that story? Jesus is teaching his disciples in John 14, 15, 16, 17. He says, I'm about to leave the planet, and you're going to be heavy-hearted. There's going to be a disconnect. Earlier in Jesus' ministry, he says, you may not fast now, but there's coming a day when I'm no longer with you. You will fast because you're going to be lovesick because of the departure of me, and you won't be connected with me, and you will have to engage me by the Holy Spirit. Jesus says in verses 12 and 13 of John 16, just imagine, I feel God's pain in this, Jesus' pain. He says, I still have many things to say to you, Juliana, Audrey, Brigitte, whoever. I'm just using names here. Jesus is saying this to his disciples. He says, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, and surely he puts a smile on his face when he begins to say this part. He goes, but I got good news. I'm leaving, and there's secrets in my heart I want to tell you, but I can't yet. But when I leave, hold on, wait for it. Wait for it. There's more, but wait, there's more. Verse 13, however, when he, The Spirit of truth, when he comes, when I send him, he will guide you. He will lead you. He will escort you into a portion of truth. Barry said, that's not what it says. What does it say? He will lead you into parts of the truth. He will lead you into all truth. It's the Holy Spirit that will take us by the hand, help our unholy imagination. He will give us pictures through the Word of God. He will lead us into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority. He will thunder from heaven. He will release lightning strikes of heaven by the authority of the Father. And whatever he hears and whatever he sees, the Holy Spirit will speak those things. And he will tell you things to come. Holy Spirit is the one who travels the hallways and the corridors of heaven. And he asks the Father, on your behalf, he enters into those conversations with Jesus. Jesus is praying eternally, forever, for your good, for your eternal destiny. And the Holy Spirit enters into those prayers, those times of intercession. Even the Holy Spirit prays himself. And he says, Father, what do you want me to reveal to Evan, to Arlene, to Farah? What do you want me to reveal to them? Maybe they'll ask me today. The gift of the Holy Spirit for us. He is longing to meet us and to speak to us. How do we know this? Well, one of the pictures we see is that river of revelation, or that river of the Holy Spirit that flows from the throne. I always imagined like a little stream until a couple years ago. God began to give me a different picture of a torrent. If you were to uncap one of these fire hydrant things, you'd uncap that water would just gush forth so fast. It's the source. It's coming from the source. That street would be filled in probably 5 minutes. I mean, more than Saturday was. This torrent that is coming from the throne of God, out from under the throne, is the person of the Holy Spirit. There's deep longing and passion in his heart to take what is the Father's and what is the Son's and to make it known to you. Well, you go, well, I prayed a prayer when I was 16 in a boring prayer meeting. That's me. I already have Jesus. He says, but you don't understand. You don't understand what I heard the Father talking about, what he wants to reveal to you. You don't understand what he wants to do through you and in you. But you have to first approach that, to interact with the person of the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus is saying. I'm going to leave, and the things that I'm longing to reveal to you, I will reveal them to you in a conversation and through the person of the Holy Spirit. Our lives, letter B, are limited in our human understanding and our experiences. We imagine God is who we have experienced him to be. He is so much more than what I have. I'm 40 years old. He is so much bigger. I mean, he's eternity. He is eternity. He's not living in eternity. He is eternity itself. In his nature. We imagine God is, you know, I remember just an experience real quickly. I remember when I was back in the 90s, I remember going to this it was a revival service in a particular location, going to this service, and there were people, I don't even want to try to define everything that was going on, but I just remember being offended because of what I saw happening. I left there crying. I left there kind of wounded in my heart going, surely that's not God. Until later on, like 15 years later, I experienced it for myself, and I go, oh, maybe I didn't have a full, clear picture of who God is and what he wants to do in his people. I was so offended that I heard people laughing, and I'm going, I mean, you should be crying, not laughing. I mean, God doesn't make people laugh. I was like, oh, God doesn't do that. I mean, there were people dancing. I was like, you shouldn't be dancing. You should be kneeling down or something. God is all those emotions, but I was meeting God out of my own experiences, thinking that's who he was. Since then, I've learned a little bit more than I did, thank the Lord. The Holy Spirit is, I'm gritting my teeth because I know that there's this, the picture of the man, the fire hydrant, this torrent, it's the source. It's the gift of the loving Heavenly Father wanting to reveal to us who we are in eternity. Jesus, he says that phrase, he goes, there's more that I want to reveal to you, but you can't receive it yet. I was imagining that in Genesis chapter 2, read that verse for a second. Genesis chapter 2, verse 20, God creates man in his image. in his likeness, in his expression, in his longing. You are created to be as God. You are like God with the cravings, with the longings, with the movements of your heart. You're like God. The things that you hunger for, it's because God has made you like him. And so God just totally set up Adam. He goes, I'm going to give you a job. You're like me in my image and expression, and I'm also going to give you a job, and you're going to love doing it. He gets to the end of this particular task of naming all the animals. Two by two, you know, he recognizes in their own likeness, in their own image. And he gets to the end of naming all the animals, which is just so bizarre to me. You just imagine what that was like. And the verse goes on, it says, but there was none that he could relate to. And so he goes, wait a second. Who do I fellowship with? Who is like me in my flesh? Who do I interact with? God was setting up Adam. Can you imagine Jesus in that moment before the Holy Spirit came? Can you imagine him going, Father, I've prayed for them. I'm leaving, and they're not yet ready to enter into fellowship with me. There was something missing in Jesus' heart, something he was longing for that he could not enter into because they were not ready to receive it. This is why he sent the Holy Spirit. Letter E, our full inheritance is only made known to us by looking into the face of Jesus, for asking for the person of the Holy Spirit to paint those pictures for us by the scriptures. Matthew 5:8, Stuart had me thinking about this last week when he was sharing this. Matthew 5:8, it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This is the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. Blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. You go, well, I'm not pure in heart. I know my weakness. I know my sin. I know my shortcomings. How can I ever see God? Well, the reality is the more that we see Jesus, we then see God. We are seeing through Jesus, we see the Father. And as we grow in the understanding of who he is, it purifies us. It causes us to live differently. But if you look back in those Beatitudes, the first Beatitude, it's Jesus saying, every heart must encounter the brick wall called poverty of spirit until I realize you have nothing to offer God, you have nothing to offer anyone, you have nothing that will satisfy your own heart. Until we get to that point called poverty of spirit, called I need Jesus, I need salvation, I need God to touch my heart. Until we get to that point, we cannot receive the kingdom of heaven. That is the gift of repentance. There's a lot of talk about receiving forgiveness. God is a God of love. He gives forgiveness, but he only gives forgiveness through the one who gives repentance, or the one who enters into repentance. Jesus says it's the one who is grieved over the sin and the poverty of their own heart that is then given access to the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4 says it's the one who mourns. When I begin to think about this, the last couple of years, this beatitude of mourning over the condition of our hearts, we enter into salvation. We see the door open in heaven, so to speak, and we recognize the lack of our own hunger to receive what God wants to give us. Have you ever hit that wall? You go, I'm just not really interested in God today. I mean, that sounds so unholy, right? I mean, we are in our head, but my heart is like, hey, you know, I just want to check out and do whatever, A, B, and C. Jesus was saying in the mourning over all that is accessible to us, but yet we have not gone after those things. Poverty of spirit opens the door. Mourning over our lack of desire to enter into that room, enter into those realities, enter into the gifts of treasures awaiting us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. John 16:13 again. The Holy Spirit is the one who delivers truth. He guides us into all truth. He leads us. He's like the hand of the shepherd who gently leads us faithfully. Letter L, seeing determines the depth of our sustained choices for holiness. We will live a life based on what we see. as Christians or even as not yet believers, sinner or saint, we will live our lives out of what we see, both in the natural and in the spiritual. What we have insight for is how we will live, how we will order our steps, how we will order our finances, how we will order our time. Whatever we see is what we will live for. Does that make sense? You don't know what you need until you go to the mall and you start window shopping. You go, man, you know, I just really need that shirt. Those shoes, I didn't realize, but, you know, I do need some new shoes, right, ladies? You know what I'm talking about. I'm almost done here, but I got on a point. These ladies got crazy for a second. I mean, think about it. You don't realize what you need until you go through Target and you go, or Home Depot or Walmart for the men. I mean, you know, you don't realize that you need that one tool until you go through that aisle and you go, you know, you try to convince, you know, your wife. You go, we really do need that. You know, hurricane comes or something. The men know what I'm talking about. I mean, we don't realize what we need until we see it. That's just a little analogy. Did that point come across with that example? We live for that which we see. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Last verse, and we're going to pray. Letter M, 1 Corinthians. Thank you, Ian. You can come on up. Thank you, worship team. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. What I hope, before we read this, the worship team's getting situated. What I hope is that really it's like, you know, like when we have like church potluck meals, that table could be set out. I mean, the best food. We had an amazing time in the beginning of November together. That food was amazing. Just imagine that table being set. I mean, it's perfectly, beautifully set. Smell, I mean, it's there. And you go, wow, that's a great meal. And you walk by it on the way out the door and you go home and you never actually have some of that food. And my hope is that you're not really receiving and eating and tasting fully until you take this information and you go back in your own personal interaction time with the Lord, with the Holy Spirit. But what I'm hoping is this, we're actually putting a spread on that table. It's inviting you to ask the Lord for more. He actually opens up our eyes to see the more that is available to us, that we ache over that which is available, and we ask God to help us to get there, to grow in more of that. So 1 Corinthians, then we're going to pray. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of the man the things which God has prepared for them and for those who love him. If you're a lover of Jesus today, you have no idea everything he's revealed, he has for you. I mean, yes, it's in 70 years living on this earth, but it's into eternity. It says we have no idea. We have no clue the full weight. I mean, I love Christmas as a father on the earth. I love the idea that I'm giving my kids a surprise. God has many surprises. Verse 10, but God has revealed them to us by the Holy Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things. He opens up the presents, the packages. He knows what are those gifts for us. They're the deep things of God yet to be revealed. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together as we close in prayer. Thank you, Jesus. On this Christmas season, those that have a tree in your house, or you have a picture of a tree or whatever that looks like in your living room, hopefully that we go beyond just the natural and we see that there's treasures, there's gifts God wants to give to us. And that would be a testimony to our own hearts, to those around us. Amen. Love you guys. God loves us so much. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. Thank you for this time together. We say it's been good to be in your house. It's been good to be in your house. the Father's house, to be with a spiritual family. Father, we thank you for the privilege to feel your presence. Just a minute. We're going to take a minute before we close, before we dismiss. Just reflect on what God has spoken to us from his word. Before you start your busy to-do shopping list and all that, and schedule, and taking a minute. Father, we thank you for your word. We say right now, thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you for that which you desire to reveal to us. Father, I pray for every heart in this room. I pray you'd bring us in to holiness, to purity, preparing us for eternity. Father, I pray that you'd put a deep longing within our hearts. And I ask for that fire hydrant in our hearts to be uncapped. The person of the Holy Spirit who is wanting to gush forth from our hearts. Jesus, you said that you would put a spring of living water within us. It would burst forth and it would satisfy us. If we give permission to you, Holy Spirit, I ask that this week you would encounter each one of us. You would encounter our families. Father, I ask right now, anyone that's struggling with unbelief, with sin, with compromise, would you meet them this week? I pray for those with family members far from you. God, reveal yourself to them. You would hear our prayers. You'd respond from heaven. God, we thank you. Bless our families this week. Be with us, keep us, protect us, and sustain us. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen. Amen. God bless.